You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Atlanta Braves with MLB.com's Braves beat reporter, Mark Bowman. Mark, as we speak, you are just back from the groundbreaking of what we now know is going to be known as SunTrust Park. What's the impact on the franchise of getting this going and maybe putting a little spring in some people's steps after what's been a disappointing few weeks here on the field?
Yeah, I'd have to say that looking forward to this new stadium, like you said, SunTrust Park opening up in 2017, it gives the folks from the organization, the fans, some of the players that have, those that know that they'll more than likely still be around, it's something to look forward to, during what has been a rough season. There were a number of dignitaries that showed up today. Rob Manfred was there, and he kind of hinted that, the Braves are this stadium, which will also have the hotels and the restaurants and the office space and residential area around it. Are they hoping that it'll be a great ballpark, a place that people want to come watch games, but it'll be a destination spot for 365 days a year. And Rob said, look, I expect that many of the stadiums built, as we move forward, we'll use this as a blueprint and try to, in some ways, copy this model.
It certainly seems to be in the vein of what we're seeing in newer ballparks in this decade. One of the biggest news really to come out of it was the naming rights. I don't know that we know all the specific details, but the Braves have played for the last several years in a park without a naming rights deal. Do you anticipate any significant financial impact, any significant impact on the payroll or on the operations of having this new stream of revenue?
I do. I think that there's no doubt that not only that the fact they own much of this area around the stadium in which where they can generate revenue, or they hope to generate revenue year-round from the stores, restaurants, but obviously, like you said, from the naming rights aspect, yes, I do expect that that could impact the payroll. Like you said, specifically, the Braves have not revealed that, and I think that's something that we'll learn over the course of the next year or two, once decisions are made. But yeah, that is, I think that, a lot of people, I'm sure there are traditionalists that say, hey, I love Turner Field and the stadiums that do not have the corporate logo attached to it. It's tough to do business without having that type of association anymore. There's too much money involved in these sponsorships and these partnerships, these naming rights partnerships. So it's something that the people from SunTrust seem really excited about, and the Braves weren't able to keep it a secret pretty well, because I don't think anyone really knew that SunTrust Bank was going to be the name, right? So one of their executives said, "Hey, did you have any clue?" I said, "Really not." I said, "But there was." I said, "One of my buddy's dads was up there, and I was trying to figure out why he was there, and he's the guy from SunTrust." So that was really the first clue I had about 5 minutes before they announced it.
Got to have that radar up. On the field, some weird stuff going on. I shouldn't overstate the weirdness, but Evan Gattis is dealing with an illness that seems to be pretty persistent and problematic. What's your understanding of what his status is for the near term and the remainder of this week and a half of the season?
I think they were really hoping when they were in D.C. last week. They went from D.C. to Dallas and then came back to Atlanta. And the last day in D.C., Gattis said, "Look, I'm feeling better. I hope to play this weekend." That was a Wednesday. He was going to have a Thursday off day. Well, he got to Dallas and was not feeling well again. Same thing in Dallas. He started to feel better towards the end of the weekend. Thought he was going to play on the Monday night series opener against the Nationals. He comes to the park. He doesn't feel well again. Now, with the strep throat, he's got some congestion. There is some thought that the flights have affected him. Going up into the altitude. They sent him for more testing yesterday. As of this morning, we had not heard the results of those tests. But yeah, they did not really expect strep throat to keep them sidelined for an entire week. They were hopeful for the weekend and at least expecting for him to play on Monday, like this past Monday, against the Nationals. Taking that big bat out of the lineup is, it has created just even more problems for an offense that has just never been able to get going for any length of time this year. It is when we look back on this season, you're going to remember that they lost three starting pitchers. But the pitching was never the problem. The offense was the problem. And barring a miraculous finish, the offensive woes will be the reason they are not playing in October.
It seems like the capper is a guy they had always hit around. Steven Strasburg finally got them and got them good. I mean, does that kind of say it all? Not to denigrate Strasburg, who's an outstanding pitcher, but a guy they have consistently hit around. They did nothing against. Is that kind of the indicator of where this offense is at right now?
Yeah. Well, maybe even more when Colby Lewis got him the day before. Maybe that's more an indication of where this offense was. A guy who has struggled so much, and Strasburg, like you said, they've had their way with him. If they haven't chased him early, they've managed to beat him 2-1 on maybe a fluke play. But. The opener of this week's series, Strasburg really had everything working. He had the two-seamer that he's been throwing, but he was throwing that in on the hands of the righties, 94-95 miles an hour. He had change-up working to both the righties and lefties. He was in total command. And, it was – the Braves had a few chances. They did get a runner on third with nobody out and came up empty. And those who have watched the Braves all year long were, definitely not shocked at that. We've seen that time and time again, that this team, whether it's youth, that it is showing people, the youth showing because these guys are pressing and knowing that they didn't have struggled in this situation before, making matters worse by, overthinking situations, simply not hitting the ball to the right side, with less than two outs. Little things like that we've seen from this team time and again, that bit them again, that one opportunity they had, or at least that one prime opportunity they had against Strasburg.
It may be too early to be talking about next year just yet, but I started looking at the rotation, and Minor, Teron, and Wood are back, and then it's not entirely clear. What do you think the rest of the 2015 rotation looks like? I mean, they need to fix the offense, but it seems to me that they've also got some questions in the rotation for next season.
Yeah, I mean, there will be a question about Chris Mellon. Chris Mellon's coming off a second Tommy John surgery. There's no guarantee about, where he will be next year. I think he would like to return to the Braves. The Braves, may have some desire to bring him back, but at the same time, how much of a chance do you take on a guy coming back from second Tommy John? The same thing goes with Brandon Beachy. You look down towards the minor leagues, you were hoping to see Jason Hirsch at the number one draft pick from two summers ago. You were hoping to see him make some strides this year. There were some good starts. But he's a ground ball pitcher that did not put up great ground ball numbers this year. I do not think he's ready. Lucas Sims, who is their top pitching prospect, is definitely not ready quite yet. So yeah, there are some questions. Do you another guy who got hurt during the course of this season, Gavin Floyd? Do you take a chance on bringing him back? He was coming off Tommy John, and he ends up fracturing the significant bone in his elbow. Do you take that kind of chance there? And I know why. I think the question or answer about Aaron Harang, you're just happy with what he gave you this year. So you expect him to be gone. But I think this is a team that's going to have to start looking outside the organization. Whether that should be a trade, free agency, probably have to pick up a pitcher this winter. And the other option would be, do you look at David Hale and make him into a starter next year?
And that kind of leads into the other thing I'm wondering about. This was a club that had high expectations. As of right now, they're at 500 with 12 games to go. There's some distant shot at the wild card, but the math does not favor them. If this team finishes around 500 and not playing games in contention in the last few days of the season, are there consequences? Is there heat either on the front office or the manager's office for what I think, even with the injuries, has to be considered a disappointing season?
Yes, I think so. There's no doubt that I do expect changes to be made, for as soon as the season is over. And like you said, it may focus on the front office. You know, there is reason to look at Freddy Gonzalez and each of the coaches, but at the same time, there's reason to look at, some of the mistakes that have been made, by Frank Wren, the general manager, from the contract standpoint. And also you just have to look, if you're running the club and you're John Schuerholz, you just have to assess the whole culture of the organization. Is it where you want it to be? Is it where you feel that it was during your day as the general manager, when the Braves always were a model franchise? And yes, I think that I have gotten the sense that there will be changes made. How significant remains to be seen, but I will be surprised if there are not at least some significant changes made there in that front office structure, or the somewhere in the managerial reign, the management of the club, two coaches who are definitely going to be looked at when they're looking to make changes. Greg Walker and Scott Fletcher, the two hitting coaches, you've heard it time and again that Greg Walker has worked hard. He puts in the time. It's not from a lack of effort and all this, but the fact of the matter is this club has struggled this year. Is that a product of just some guys, having normal regressions? In other words, Chris Johnson thrived last year. He exceeded expectations. Now he comes back to basically being the player that he was the year before. He was in the years before. Jason Hayward, the power hasn't been there. He maybe hasn't made that step forward off from an offensive standpoint that you would hope for during the age 24 season. Anderton Simmons, the pop hasn't been there that we've seen in the past. Now, that may just be completely on Anderton Simmons. But, once you go through a season like this as an organization, it's tough to go back into it with all the pieces the same. So we will see a different look in this, not only on the roster, but maybe just from a structure standpoint with this organization next year.
Mark Bowman, thanks for taking some time here to talk on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.